promised last week that today we'll sort of round off our Iyunim and Aseres HaDibros with a Sekira on all the Aseres HaDibros, and to see if we're taka right that the Aseres HaDibros were there to give us the constitutional principles of a Mamleches Kayanim v'Goy Kodesh, that Aseres HaDibros, each one of them has a whole life besides the mitzvah aspect, but because of the ideas which they plant in us, that they could be the yesoidas on which a Mamleches Kayanim v'Goy Kodesh is to be based, to round that off, since we've gone through each one of the Aseres HaDibros individually. So in Yetzer Hashem we'll get around to that. And Be'ema says that it's Min HaShemayim that Dafka this week is Vos Chanan, where we get to the Aseres HaDibros again. So the Eon in the Aseres HaDibros will really be also a Me'en of the Parshas HaShavua, and also for another reason which we'll see in a few moments. But before we start on that, there's just a little piece of something which I want to share with you. I heard once this Yesoid, and I believe it's a very important Yesoid, and it's a Yesoid which is Lemaisa for us who have gone through Tisha B'Av this week. So the Loshen of the Tur in Arachayim Simon Tov Chof Ches is the, it talks about the Haftoros over there. And so what he says is like this: Mibereshes at Yud Zayin Betamos, from Parshas Bereshis until we get to Shiva Osa B'Tamos, Maftirem Me'inyan HaParshios Doime B'Doime. The Haftorah is chosen on the basis of a similarity which it has to what was read in the Parsha. But Misham Ve'Elech Lefi HaZman U'Lefi HaMe'oira. From then on, that from Shiva Osa B'Tamos onwards, the Haftorahs are not chosen on the basis of what's happening in the Parsha, but they're chosen by the time of the year in which they're being said and what happened. Talta de Puranusa, first comes the three Haftoros of Puronius between Shiva Osa B'Tamos and Tisha B'Av. Then comes the Sheva de Nechemta, the famous seven Haftoros of Nechoma, which begin with Nachamu Nachamu Ami this Shabbos. And then V'Tata de Tjufta, and then we have the Haftoros of Tshuva, which have to do with Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur and Aseres Yemei Tshuva. And that brings us all the way till Simchas Torah, and then we start again from Bereshis. So the Haftoros are chosen up to Shiva Osa B'Tamos on the similarity to the Pasha, and from then on as a Me'ein HaMe'oiro. I heard once a brother-in-law of mine, never, he's not alive anymore, was a very choshev yid, but at an occasion there was never somebody who had lost his wife. It was a very, very big tragedy, and it was Hatakub Shabbos Nachamu that the Oilam got together to be with him a little bit. And my brother-in-law said at that time, he brought this tour, that's how I know this tour, not a Bokian tour, but I know this tour from what he said. And he asked this very, very reasonable question, and that is, what does it mean Me'ein HaMe'oira, that the three of Puranusa, the three punishment Haftoros in the 3 weeks between Shiva Osa B'Tamos and Tisha B'Av, that we understand, though that's a period in the year when there was a terrible Puranias, and that was between the breaking the walls of the city and destroying the Beis HaMikdash. Oh, that's Me'ein HaMe'oira. The from Rosh Hashanah through Yom Kippur to Simchas Torah, that the Haftorah is the Haftorah of Shabbos Tshuva, that's Me'ein HaMe'oira, because that's the time of Tshuva. But the Shiva de Nechemta, how can you call them Me'ein HaMe'oira? Me'ein HaMe'oira is the Me'oira means what happened, that the Haftorahs, or wherever you use the word Me'ein HaMe'oira, it means that it's influenced by what happened during that period. Now, what Nechama happened during that period? There wasn't any Nechama during that period. In the time of the Beis HaMikdash, knew there were the 3 weeks between Shiva Osa B'Tamos and Tisha B'Av, and then Nebuch the Beis HaMikdash was burned, and we were in Golos, and there was certainly no kind of Nechama. And where in history has there been a Nechama during this period? So he asked very stark, he said, like, where is the Me'ein HaMa'ira? If the Torah would have said, we don't insist on a similarity to the Pasha, but we lay 7 of Nechemta. Okay, so we do. Why? Then we can think that, figure it out ourselves, perhaps. But he says, Beferish, that the Mahalach is that we go with the Zman and the Me'ira. Yeah, umishom be'elach, lefi ha-zman, or lefi ha-ma'ora, talte de boronis, v'sheva de nechemte. So he calls the sheva de nechemte as a me'ein ha-ma'ora. So he tainted that it must be that in the chayma of the boronis itself lies a nechama. We know that what Chazal said, I don't remember whether he said that, but I'll say that now. You know, we all know the Chazal, that when the goyim broke into the Beis HaMikdash, so they went to the Kodesh Kodoshim, and they saw the Kruvim in each other's embrace, Amon and Moav. They went in there, and then they carried the Poroches, or the Kruvim, whatever it was, which Kruvim they saw, and they carried them through the streets, and they made fun of the Yidden. Look, they've got erotic figures in their Kodesh Kodoshim. Here they're preaching the whole time Kedusha and all kinds of things like that, and look what they have in their Beis HaMikdash. They have in their Beis HaMikdash these figures in each other's embrace. So forget about Amon and Moav. They are what they are. But we have to ask ourselves, we know, Chazal tell us, that the Kruvim, by their relationship to one another, indicated what our relationship was with the Ribbono Shel Olam. So therefore, when we were not on good terms, Ki'ilu Kaviyochol, with the Ribbono Shel Olam, so then they looked away from each other. And then, as we became back again into a good relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam, so then they started facing each other again. But this was at the moment of the Churban. At the moment of the Churban, why would they be in each other's embrace? Zetman, that in the Churban Gufa lies a Nechama. In the Churban lies a Nechama. And I think that that's really indicated in Tisha B'Av Gufa, that Korol Moed, we give it a din of Yontov also. In a way, it was a blessing that the Ribbono Shel Olam took away the Beis HaMikdash and burnt it to the ground. Why was that a blessing? Because as long as, you know, Chazal say that Kimcha Tchina Tochan, that by the time Nebuchadnezzar came and burnt down the Beis HaMikdash, it had no Shechina anymore. The Shechina had gone, so all that was left was a gorgeous building. So who cares? So the building had no chashivas, and the mail it was burnt. But you have to understand that the presence of such a building would have been a terrible thing for us. We would have gotten used to honoring an empty shell. We would have lost our sense of what is to be honored and what is not to be honored. Kum toch ois, that in the Churban itself lies in the Chumah, that the Ribbono Shel Olam took away this fake Beis HaMikdash, which had become a fake Beis HaMikdash, the minute that the Shechina went away from it, and it was all already like ground flour, which he ground again, it was already destroyed. Who needs a building? And so the Ribbono Shel Olam, not only, so he said, okay, now I'll burn it. The pshat is that it was a terrific chesed to take that away from us. I tie it to the Bachem, that the vote is that in a way we see, I don't know, I don't want to spend so much time on it now, we want to get to the Aseres HaDibros, but the emes is we see a chayma on Asor HaBeteves more than on Tisha B'Av, because in Asor HaBeteves, or maybe I've talked about this once before, the Asor HaBeteves, we know that the halacha is an avudram that can't fall out on Shabbos according to our calendar, but if it would fall out on Shabbos, we would fast on Asor HaBeteves. Why would we fast on Asor HaBeteves? Because it says in Yecheskel Be'etzem HaYom HaZeh, so just like on Yom Kippur we fast even if it comes out on Shabbos, so on Asor HaBeteves we would fast even if it comes out on Shabbos. On Tisha B'Av we're Dolfer. So you see there's a Chayma in Asor HaBeteves more than on Tisha B'Av. And I hold that it's taka a more chomadik tragedy. What was Asor HaBeteves? They made a siege around Yerushalayim. But Yerushalayim is supposed to be Kimitzion Teitzesoy Vodavah Hashem Yerushalayim. The Ashpor of Kedusha has to come out of Yerushalayim to spread around the whole world. So Yerushalayim with a siege around it, where nothing can come out, is an aberration. It's an aberrant Yerushalayim. So that's a much more horrible, in a way, chilul of the Beis HaMikdash than the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. Because the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash doesn't interfere with its integrity. You either have it or you don't have it. I mean, if you don't have it, you don't have it. So, but when it'll be built again the way it's supposed to be. But Yerushalayim surrounded, that's an aberration. In a way that's worse even than Tisha B'Av. And Asar B'Teves would not be Nitzen, it would be Doicher Shabbos. We would fast even on Shabbos. Even on Tisha B'Av we don't. So on Tisha B'Av, Be'etzem contains in itself a little bit of Nechama. And that is why at the moment, after, when the Goyim already came into the Kodesh Kodoshim, so the Kruvim were already in each other's embrace, the Rebbe Shem said, okay, we are friends again. We've gone through this terrible, 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 terrible Chum. So now you know we are ready now to start building. I'm ready to start. We can start tomorrow. You have to come back. Well, of course, we missed countless opportunities, I guess, and we're still in Golos. But the vort is that in the Churban lies in the Chum. And that's an important thing to know. And that is why I wanted to start off the Shir tonight with that. So now we are by the Aseret HaDivros. We want to sort of bid an official goodbye to this sugya of the Aseret HaDivros. And as I said before, the fact that it's right now in Vos Chanan where we have the Aseret HaDivros again, so it's just the right moment to sort of give a farewell glance at the whole sugya. So let's read the few psukim in Vos Chanan in Perek Dalet, which lead up to the posuk, which is so very, very important for us. Let's start at Sheni. Re'ei limadati eschem chukim u'mishpotim kasher tzivani Hashem Elokai lasos kein bekerav ha'oretz asher atem bo'im shomo levishto. We're going to Eretz Yisrael. You're going to have chukim u'mishpotim to keep there. And what are they? Are they oil? Are they a nuisance? Are they something which is hard to keep? U'shematem v'asisem kihi chokmaschem uvinaschem leinei ho'amim asher yishmu'un es kol ha'chukim o'eile v'omru rak am chochem v'novon ha'goy ha'godol hazeh ki mi goy godol asher lo elohim krovim elov kashem elokeinu b'chol koreinu elov umi goy godol asher lo chukim u'mishpotim tzadikim k'chol ha'toro hazoz asher noshen noshen lifneichem hayoim. And then the pasuk goes on, Rakish shomer lecho shema nashecho ma'od pentishkach es advorim asher ro enecho fen yosuru milvofcho kol yemech hayecho vaydatem levonecho lefnei vodecho. What? Yoyim asher amadeto lefnei Hashem elokecho b'chayrach ve'emoy Hashem elai hakeli esho'om v'ashmi'em es dvorai asher yilmedun liyiru oisi kol hayomim asher heim chayim alo adomo v'esh b'neihem lo yilamedon. And that is the mitzvah, according to the Ramban, there's a mitzvah loisase and a mitzvah aseh. There's a mitzvah loisase that we're not allowed to forget Ma'amad HaSinai, and it's a mitzvah aseh that we have to pass on the Mesorah to our children and to our grandchildren. Just want to read to you the Shtikl Ramban on this. It's a longer Ramban, but I'll just read a few sentences. Ki kasher Oma shenizoher b'chol ha-mitzvot v'nishma ha-chukim v'ha-mishpotim la'asasam. Remember, those were the psukim before we came to this pasuk of Rakish Omer l'cho. Chozom v'oma rak ani mazhir chom ma'od lehishomer v'lishmoer atzmecho ma'oid ma'oid lizko me'ayen bo elecho ha-mitzvot shloit tishkach ma'amet ha-sinai mikol ha-dvorim asher ro'u shom enecho ha-koilos the thunder, v'halapidim, and the lightnings, es kvoidoi, v'es godloi, u'dvorov asher shomato shom mitarcho esh. Don't forget them. Don't forget them. V'taydiya kol ha'dvorim asher roru enecho b'mamat ha'nichbat ahu, l'vonecho l'vnei v'necho ad oylam. Make this the Yerusha that you give to your children. Give it to your children. Give it to your grandchildren. This should be in our bones. It has to be a constant a part of us. Upira shatam. Why? Ki Hashem also, listen now to what we're saying. Why did we have this Aseret HaDivros? Upira shatam ki Hashem also hamamatahu kidei shetilmadu leyiru oisoi kol hayomim ves b'neichem tilamedon ledoros oilam. He wanted you to be Yirei Shomayim. Ki Hashem also amamatahu kidei shetilmadu leyiru oisoi kol hayomim. We have to be Yireim of the Ribbono Shel Olam. And that is the one precious Yerusha that we can pass on to our children. In Kain Asu Atem Kocho, the Altish Kuchu also. Don't forget them. And that is what it is. That the Aseros HaDebras are there, the Mamet HaSinai, with all the attendant thunder and lightning and koilos and rokim and the whole thing, that the Ribbono Shel Olam was mamish there in our midst. All of that is there in order to make us into God-fearing people. That's unbelievable. And now, let's think through these Aseros HaDibros, the way we explained them over the past 9 weeks or whatever it was. So to try and figure out, Tucker, what these Aseros HaDibros in their totality teach us. In other words, what kind of a nation does the Ribbono Shel Olam envision by giving us these 10 hints, maybe more than hints, to tell us the values which are going to be the underlying values of that nation. Nochamal, we know that the Aseros HaDibros are mitzvahs, they're more than 10 mitzvahs, either 14 according to the Rambam, 11 according to the Ramban, but there are more. It's not 10 mitzvahs, it's 10 dibros. So dibros has to be something over and above the mitzvahs. So what are they? So let's now see in the clolius of the Aseros HaDibros what kind of a society is envisioned. Onoichi v'lo yilecha. The first thing is, remember we saw in Onoichi, the Ribbono Shel Olam said, Rashi brings it in Beha, Shtori Koidem. We are avodim of the Ribbono Shel Olam. Onoichi Hashem Elokei Rosh Hatzisicho Me'eretz Mitzrayim Mibeis Avodim. I have a shtar avdus on you. You are my avodim. All the limitations of Eved Ivri, that a Yid can't make another Yid into a real Eved, you mustn't work avodas peros, you mustn't sell him on a platform. All these things which preserve the dignity of the Jew, and he doesn't become a full Eved, is only because we are already a full Eved. We are already a full Eved of the Ribbono Shel Olam. He took us out of Mitzrayim, and with that we became his Avodim. And that's who we are. So number one, your side number one of the Aseros HaDibros is that we are indentured to the Ribbono Shel Olam. We are his servants, we are his slaves. He can do Navodas Perach with us. He can be Mevazeas if we have to go in the service of the Ribbono Shel Olam and become a Mevuzah, and it's embarrassing, and that's what we have to do. We are his Avodim. That's the first Yesod. You want to be a Mamlechus Kayan and Vigoy Kodesh. Realize that you're not your Balabas. You have one Balabas, and that's the Ribbono Shel Olam. And your entire life, 24 hours a day, 7/24, or 24/7, I don't know which way you say it, you're an ever to the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's what a Mamlechus Kohen and Vigoy Kodesh looks like. You know, I sound so frum over here when I say these things. I have as much shaitas to these Yesodos as a Chvesvos. But I'm just saying over what I think the theory is over here, like what the Torah is telling us. If I as an individual fall short of that, that's my sorrow. But at least we have to know what it should be. So that is the Onoichi Hashem Elokei Rosh Hatzisicho Me'eretz Mitzrayim. Then lo yilecho Elohim acherim al ponei. Remember, we learned from Rav Volbe, who was much better to us, this Yesod, that Avodah Zorah shel Avraham Avinu was Abba Meir's prokem, because by him Avodah Zorah wasn't only Avodah Zorah. You're not allowed to bow down to a graven image. That's not all it is. That's much more than that. That's what is that any foreign value to which we give a credence, to which we say this is important to me in my life, that by Avraham Avinu was also an Avodah Zorah. Anything which was Zorah from the Ribbono Shel Olam, anything which deflected his concentration and his thinking from the Ribbono Shel Olam, that was an Avodah Zorah. 400 prokim Avodah Zorah. How do I deal with my attraction to this thing or my attraction to that thing? Of course, every day has its own Yetzirah. I don't suppose that Avraham Avinu followed the football team of the Emorim and the Canaanim, but whatever it was that the civilization, the culture within which he lived was machshev, that became an Avodah Zorah. So the word is not only Onoichi Hashem Elokecha, you are my servants because I took you out of Mitzrayim, but my servitude demands a single-minded adherence to only one Yesod, and that is the Yesod of the Ribbono Shel Olam. and all foreign things deflect you from that. You're not allowed to do that. That is also a form of Avodah Zarah. Then you come to Loisisa Shema Shema Lakefa Lashav. Remember, we learned that the union of a Shvua is that when you say Ani Nishba, I am besevened, if you remember what I said at the time, it means I'm making this statement in full awareness that the Ribbono Shel Olam is standing there and listening to me. So that is the Divra which tells us that we are never alone. We talked about that, but isn't that an interesting thing? You tell a guy, he says, "Oh, you have a Shulchan Aruch, that's your constitution. Like, let's hear, what does it start off with?" "Oh, it starts off with that I have to put my right sock on before my left." What are you talking about? We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal and entitled. Well, I don't know, there's no stuff, I'm still British. But to life, liberty, and pursuit of it. That's the way to start a constitution. You start a constitution by telling me which sock you should put on first. What kind of nonsense is that? The Talmud says what the Rambam says, Shivi Yisi Hashem Negdi Tomit. The Ribbono Shel Olam is a presence. The Ribbono Shel Olam is a real presence in our house. And if you live in the house with the king and you live in the room with the king, you'd better know what the protocols are and which sock goes on first. So that's the Yisod. I'm an Eved Hashem. I am completely focused on being an Eved Hashem, and I am constantly aware that I'm living in the palace of the king. You know where the palace of the king is? In your bedroom. That is where the palace of the king is, because the Ribbono Shel Olam is there. L'sisa Shem Hashem Elokecha L'shav. No, and from there we get to Shabbos. So we now remember we talked about this La'asoyis v'shomrim ne'Yisrael is HaShabbos, La'asoyis is HaShabbos. We learned the Sefuna that La'asoyis is HaShabbos is that the way we deal on Shabbos, the kind of Shabbos that we experience, is the Shabbos which we are making our Olam Habo, the Yom Shekulah Shabbos. La'asoyis is HaShabbos, v'shomrim ne'Yisrael is HaShabbos. They should keep Shabbos, because by keeping Shabbos, they are manufacturing an endless Shabbos. Those of you who felt Shabbos now in the middle of the summer, with the summertime, it gets late. Night is at 9:30, 10, I remember in Gateshead, during double summertime after the war, so night was at 11:30, 11:15, I don't know what it's like over there nowadays. So eternity is a very long Shabbos. And that Shabbos we're manufacturing on Shabbos. The Talmud says Shabbos is Me'ein Olam Haba. It's literally Me'ein Olam Haba. Because on Shabbos, it's our chunk of Olam Haba and Olam Hazeh. And the Ribbono Shel Olam sits back and says, "Okay, let me see how you relate to Olam Haba. Do you have the ears to hear what Olam Haba is saying to you? Do you have the eyes to see what Olam Haba is showing to you? Do you know the language that's spoken in Olam Haba? Let's see from your Shabbos." So the Mamlechus Kohen and Vigoy Kodesh are every Shabbos put in front of this experience. Put in front of this experience to experience Olam Haba. No, that's your ultimate context. Can you handle it? Have you educated yourself? Have you lived a life? Are you living a life which enables you to experience that? And then we get to Kibbutz Avraham. And Kibbutz Avraham, remember that the Ramban talks about the Yesod, that the kovod which is due to the Av and Aim is because they are shutfim of the Ribbono Shel Olam, which means that I, who am the product of my parents' marriage, am also together with the Ribbono Shel Olam. It touches up who I am. It touches up who I am, and it touches up what a yid is. You remember we discussed that the unit that was counted in Bamidbar is l'mishpacha sam l'beis avosam. The Ribbono Shel Olam doesn't count us as units. The Ribbono Shel Olam counts us as botei ovos. And why does the Ribbono Shel Olam count us as botei ovos? Because our whole yisoid is the mesora. What we learned tonight in the Ramban. That's what I am. What am I? I am a unit. I'm a son to my father and a father to my son. And I have to pass it on to him. And I have to be mekabelet. That is who I am. I'm not an individual. That's the most, perhaps in a way, the most important divur of the Aseret Divros. And the truth is, we saw that the Ramban learns that Lysinov and Lysignov are really extensions of Kibbutz Avraham, that Sinov and Loisignov tell us, look, if the wife commits adultery, so he won't know who his father is, so whom is he going to be mechabed? So you see that how you soidus the kibud avoem is because we have to look upon ourselves, not as individuals. We have to look upon ourselves as bote ovos. I'm a son of my father, a father of my son. That is who I am. And that is what tightens itself up. Those are the first five dibros. So there we have it. What a yid is supposed to look like if he's a mamlech as kind of a goy kodesh. And then we get to this strange treatment of the Ramban to these to the first three of the five latter dibros, the ben odom lechaveros, but he always finds a different extension to them. That the loisirtzach is not only because of the cruelty that you are exercising against your victim, but you are causing the Ribbono Shelolam a loss. Each person is unique. Remember, that's what the Ikrim said in this pasuk in Noach: Shofach dam ha'odom ba'odom doma yishafech ki betzelem elokim oseh ha'odom. That then the Ikrim learned, what's the pshat with betzelem elokim? That in contrast to the animals whose chashivas lies only in the mean, the individual animal has no chashivas, but for us each person is an individual. And when you murder somebody, you're taking away from the Ribbono Shelolam in all the billions and billions and billions and billions and billions of people who have lived throughout the Doros. This man was unique. And his particular mix of koichos and qualities is not duplicated anywhere. You took him away from the Ribbono Shelolam. You have to be machshev, your fellow man. You have to know how choshev it is. He's a ben yochid of the Ribbono Shelolam. Remember we talked about the Chazal, that we have to be mamlechem. Himlachta es chavercho alecho benachas ruach. What am I have to be mamlechem? I have to realize that in his world he is melech and I'm only an object. We talked about that. That's the loisirtzach. The loisinav. Loisinav, you're mixing up. That's what we remember we learned. That's why Parshas Soita comes in Nosa right after the counting. The Ramban says over there, why? Because since you counted the base Av, so we know that the unit of which Kali Yisroel, the bricks of which Kali Yisroel is built, is the base Av. So the Parsha of Soita gives us a mechanism to preserve the integrity of the base Av. And the Loisinav is going to undermine that integrity. And that is why, and he won't know who his father is, so how is he going to be mechabetim? How will he be able to identify himself as a mamlechas kohen in the goy kodesh? That is totally on the mesoro, like we learned tonight in the Pashim Vos Chanan. So if he's noyev and he doesn't know who his father is, so he's going to lose that. And you remember that the Ramban said the same thing in Leisigzoil, kidnapping. Because mostly you kidnap a child, so what do? You bring him up in some different country. And again he won't know who his father is. So again you're making him lose the whole metzias of being a yid. What is being a yid? A yid is being a chelik of a beis av. That's what a yid is. If you kidnap him, you're going to rob him of that. Weiter noch einmal, these three mitzvahs that I... Loisirtzach and Loisinav and Loisigzoil, they are the chashivas of every human being. How choshev each one of us is, that's unbelievable. And we have to get used to that idea. And really to tremble when we meet somebody. We are meeting a ben yochid of the Ribbono Shelolam. It's a very, very, very profound thing. In no way is it less demanding than the things that we saw in the first five dibros, which tell us about the Ribbono Shelolam and the way we have to relate to him. And then we come to Loisane Bereacho Eid Shoker. Remember, we learned about the special evil of giving aid to Sheker, because Elohim Nitzav Ba'adas El Bekeach Elohim Yishpoit. The Ribbono Shelolam is standing there in the Bezdan, and you know why. Remember, we learned the Ramban at the beginning of the Devarim, Loisuguru Mipnei Ish Ki Amishpoit Elohim Hu. So we learned the Ramban, who says that it's the Ribbono Shelolam's job to do Mishpat, because society can't. That the whole concept of the judicial arm of government, the way we have it here in America, or you have the justices, the judges in England, you have judges all over, you have judges. So the Derech Klal, they are the servants of the community. The community has a need for a system of justice, so they appoint judges. But as it's not that way, Ki Amishpat Le'Elokim Hu. Only the Rebbeinu Shlalom can stand us in judgment. Why? Because as individuals we're too choshuv to lose our identity in a community. And no community has the right to put a judge over me. Who has the right to put a judge over me? Only the Rebbeinu Shlalom. And this Rabban says over there, so the shoftim, which do function in the courts, are doing it only as shluchim of the Rebbeinu Shlalom. And since they're doing it as shluchim of the Rebbeinu Shlalom, if they would favor somebody because he's strong or because he's rich, they would be moyel in their shlichus. So again, it's the chashivas of the individual. That's what the five last dibras are about. The chashivas of the individual. Each individual is so choshev. And that's what, you remember Rashi learns, Mamlechus Koyanim, Rashi says, Sorim, we're a kingdom of aristocrats. Each one of us is a melech. Each one is a melech. He's a melech in his own world. We talked about that before. So those four dibros, those four last dibros of the six, seven, eight, and nine, are talking about the chashivas of the individual. And finally, like Sachmoed, remember we showed last week how that is based on the Yesod that the Rebbeinu Shlom gives us whatever we need, that we have what we need. Sha'osali kol tzorki, we say every morning. Sha'osali kol tzorki. And what if I've got a broken leg, chas v'sholem, or what if I don't have any money, and if I don't have all these things, what does it mean, sha'osali kol tzorki? So the child is, because that's your tzorich. There's no way in which it makes sense to covet what the other person has. If you would need it, the Rebbeinu Shlom would have given it to you. And by the same token, remember we saw the Ramban, that if you stick with Lo Sachmoed, you're not going to be mazik people. What's he going to do? I'm not chaymed, therefore I'm not mazik you. Yeah? Because why are you not chaymed? Because you realize how important that everything that you have is because you need it. So then if you have a Baal Sefer and you haven't become completely rotten, then you will know that just like everything that you have is because you need it, so everything that he has is because he needs it. So you're going to be careful not to be mazik him. So the truth is that if we take all these things together, we see what the Rebbeinu Shlalom wants from us. He wants us to be a Mamleches Koyan in the Goy Kodesh. Let's stick with a Rashi on that, although the Ramban learns differently. Mamleches Koyan, it's a kingdom of aristocrats. A kingdom of aristocrats. And that's what we're supposed to be. But what's the mile of the aristocrat? The aristocrat has the whole world bowing in front of him. But one thing he does is he bows in front of the king. And that's what we are. And that's what the Mamleches Koyan in the Goy Kodesh is. That we have to be mevatel ourselves to the Rebbeinu Shalom. But in order to be mevatel something worthwhile to the Rebbeinu Shalom, we first have to be somebody who is worthwhile. We have to be a sar. We have to be a unique personality. And to understand that we are a unique personality. And with all that we have within ourselves, we go and we mevatel ourselves to the Rebbeinu Shalom. If we could stell avek such a society, we can all of us understand what kind of life we would have, what a beautiful life that would be. No kinder, no sacharus, no deflection from where we are supposed to be. That we would treasure every moment of learning and every moment of tefillah. It sounds so stupid talking about these things because we're not holding by that. At least I'm not. But that's the way. That's the theory. That's the way it's supposed to be. And that's the Aseres HaDibros. So Yitzhak Hashem, starting from next week, we'll try and get back again into the Pashias.